Please join me in prayer. May the words of my mouth and the meditations of our hearts be pleasing in your sight, O Lord, our rock and our redeemer.
Amen.
Dear brothers and sisters in Christ, grace to you and peace from God our Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ. Amen. One of the advantages of the daily Bible reading plan that we encourage people to follow is that it takes readers through the whole Bible in 1 year. Using that plan, I had read through the Bible several times by the time I was a student pastor, what we call a vicar. But it was not until the end of my, until December, the end of the year on my vicarage year, that I came to really notice the end of the 17th chapter of Ezekiel by using its verses as part of a Christmas tree lighting ceremony for one of the cities of the congregation that I was serving. While Christmas trees themselves do not have a direct link to any of the Bible's trees that we live among, Christmas trees can remind us of any and all of the Bible's trees, including the tree of the Lord's planting that the tree lighting ceremony associated with Christmas trees and that we consider tonight in the second sermon of our midweek Advent Vespers series, Living Among the Bible's Trees. Tonight's first reading from the 17th chapter of Ezekiel, in part, recalls God's planting the Garden of Eden and his making trees spring up, which we heard about last week. Tonight's first reading reports God's using trees in a figure of speech, as the book of Judges records Jotham's doing centuries before Ezekiel. Using a cedar, willow, and vine, God, through Ezekiel first, allegorically relates recent history, namely King Nebuchadnezzar of Babylon's taking King Jehoiachin of Israel captive and putting his relative Zedekiah in his place, only to have Zedekiah disloyally and unfaithfully seek help from Egypt. Then God prophesies of the consequences of Zedekiah and the people's rebellion. And finally, the Lord God speaks of the tree that he himself will plant to prophesy of the Messiah and his kingdom, the church. Since the first man and woman ate of the tree of knowledge of good and evil, not only King Zedekiah, but all of us, in various ways, have been disloyal and unfaithful. Nebuchadnezzar had Zedekiah swear a loyalty oath in the Lord's name, but Zedekiah broke it. And instead of faithfully trusting in the Lord, even at that point, Zedekiah sought from Egypt help that never really came. You and I, in our baptisms, renounce the devil, all his works, and all his ways. And in our confirmations, we further vow to live according to the word of God, and in faith, word, and deed, to remain true to God. You make vows to spouses, and we make commitments to family, friends, and employers. How long do we go before we first, and then repeatedly, break such vows and commitments in thoughts, words, and deeds? You and I also face consequences for our rebellion against God in all of its forms. We face not an exile in Babylon, but death here in time and torment in hell for eternity. The Canadian rock group Rush has a 1978 song called Trees that could just as well have been inspired in part by tonight's first reading. In the song, maple trees demand more light from lofty oaks and eventually form a union and pass a law that the trees be kept equal by hatchet, axe, and saw. In the first reading, it is not a noble law, but the Lord who brings low the high, proud tree and who makes high the low, humble tree. is the Lord who dries up the green tree and makes the dry tree flourish. Unless we humbly repent and believe, as the Lord calls and enables us to do, we will be humiliated at the judgment and for all eternity. He is the Lord. He has spoken, and he will do it. So we humbly turn in sorrow from our sins. We trust God to forgive our sin, and we want to do better than to keep on sinning. When we so repent, then God forgives all our sin, whatever it might be, for Jesus' sake. Jesus is the sprig from the lofty top of the cedar, the tender topmost of its young twigs, whom the Lord himself sets out and plants on a high and lofty mountain. Indeed, the New Testament shows us Jesus on mountains, such as when he was tempted, when he was transfigured, and when he comes with the new Jerusalem. With Zedekiah, Israel's last king, dead in exile, Jesus is the prophesied and long-expected new shoot from the stump of Jesse, the righteous branch who saves Judah and who makes Israel to dwell securely. The young plant grew up and was despised and rejected by people, a man of sorrows and acquainted with grief. On the cross, he bore our griefs and carried our sorrows, was pierced for our transgressions and crushed for our iniquities, in order to bring us peace with God and heal us from the eternal death that we deserve. For Jesus' sake, whatever our sin might be, God forgives it all. As with tonight's first reading, tonight's psalm recalls creation and the Garden of Eden with its park-like plenitude of trees. The two stanzas of the psalm that we sang are the psalm's center and tell of the good use to which God puts water, creating strong trees, bursting with life, hordes of birds and other alpine animals. We should think of holy baptism and the good use to which God there puts water and his word, working forgiveness of sins, rescuing from death and the devil, and giving eternal salvation to all who believe the words and promises of God. Those so baptized live with daily sorrow over their sins and trust that God forgives them. As needed, they seek out the unique comfort offered by individual holy absolution from their pastor as from God himself. And those so baptized live in the shelter of the church, sustained on the church's meal, the sacrament of the altar, bread that is Christ's body and wine that is Christ's blood, given and shed for the forgiveness of sins, and so also for life and salvation. As every bird and winged creature, according to its kind, once entered the ark, so they now nest in the tree of the Lord's planting, eating the abundant seed or food that it offers. There is a tendency among some people, especially in East Texas, wrongly to apply to the democratic country that is the United States promises that God made to the theocratic country that once was the Old Testament nation of Israel. We can and should pray both that our nation as a whole repents and that God richly blesses it as he has in the past. But we should not expect the United States to endure forever and to be what Jesus calls the city set on a hill, which more properly is Christ's church. Nor should we expect the church to achieve its greatest glory this side of eternity. Jesus' teaching in tonight's second reading, the parable of the mustard seed, certainly echoes or alludes to tonight's first reading from Ezekiel. The mustard seed was the smallest seed Palestinian farms and gardeners knew, and was proverbial for its smallness as a seed. But as a plant, it reportedly could grow 10 to 12 feet tall, the largest plant in the herb garden. So Jesus uses the seed and its God-given growth, at least in part, to teach that the kingdom of God, that is the church, starts from seemingly insignificant beginnings, as planted and grown by the Lord, eventually giving shelter to people from all nations of the world, ultimately standing gloriously forever in eternity. Jesus himself is, and he makes us and his church to be, the tree of the Lord's planting. I mentioned at the outset how the daily Bible reading first introduced me to Ezekiel chapter 17. And I can tell you now that in preparing this sermon, I came to a greater appreciation of its connection to the parable of the mustard seed. Last week, we realized Jesus overcomes the consequences of the tree of the knowledge of good and evil. And tonight, we have realized that Jesus makes the church a tree of the Lord's planting. In the weeks to come, we will see how Jesus' death on the cross merits the forgiveness of our sins, and so how Jesus becomes for us the tree of life. God will continue to bless our living among the Bible's trees, now and forever. Amen. The peace of God, which passes all understanding, keep your hearts and minds in Christ Jesus. Amen. Amen.